What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills podcast, brought to you by tipofthetower.com. I'm Chris Lucranus, and joining me is Tristan Garnett, one of our staff writers from the site here. This week, we're going to be getting into a variety of things with the Buffalo Bills, including the team ushering in a new era with the new field name, all the camp stuff, the suspension to Marcell Dareus, position battles, thoughts on the first preseason game, and thoughts leading up to the second preseason game on Saturday against the New York Giants. Tristan, man, how you doing?
Doing good, Chris. First preseason game's in the books. It was good to have football back. You know, the starters are going to play a little bit longer here into the second week, so just ready to go for another week and another podcast.
I can't wait to see the starters play a bit more, but it's kind of unfortunate that most of the headlines this past week have happened off the field. You got the stadium change. The name has changed from the beloved Ralph to now New Era Field. Yeah. And then you got Marcell Dareus obviously being suspended, which was extremely disappointing. Which one do you want to start with first? You want to start with the field name, the field change?
Yeah, let's start with the field change because it's been a while, right? So Ralph Wilson Stadium, that was the name of the field from about 99 to obviously now 2016. So we can start there. Definitely see how, and of course, too, with New Era taking it over based right in Buffalo. So that's really interesting, the pairing between the two.
Yeah, they were saying on the John Murphy radio show that they've been in Buffalo since day one, which is no secret. Mm-hmm. And they've been to so many Bills games, and they've been Bills fans all their lives that they felt it was just the absolute perfect fit for them as a company to take over the name at the Ralph Wilson Stadium and usher in this new era, per se. So I thought it was pretty cool. I think it's a good fit for the Bills to switch to New Era.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously you mentioned a little bit about the presence with New Era being there right from the start. They are the official outfielder of the NFL in terms of hats. You know, they got a lot of values that resonate with the residents of Western New York and Buffalo. So it's really interesting, though, because now the Bills have changed over to they've taken over the corporate sponsor name. There's only six other fields. There's only six other stadiums in the NFL that don't have a corporate sponsor. So being Lambeau Field, Paul Brown Stadium, Soldier Field, Arrowhead Stadium, and then the Georgia Dome. So it's interesting to see that the Bills are kind of acclimating with the rest of the league and getting that money with the naming rights. Can't blame them, though.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, too, because I still think fans are going to call it the Ralph, just because it's kind of became that over the years. And between all the stories and the tailgates where you got people getting chokeslammed through tables and the epic drinking stories, like, there's just so many things that are associated with the Ralph that may not be good, but they're kind of like this folklore that's added to it that I think people are just going to keep calling it that.
Yeah, but definitely, like, I mean, if you're a Bills fan, like, I mean, again, it's going to be weird just not calling it the Ralph for a while. It's going to take some time to set in, but there was just so many bad years there. Like, I mean, there's just one playoff year there, just the 99 season, and then from then on, just 16 straight years without playoffs. So here's to new beginnings and new prosperity for the Buffalo Bills with New Era Field.
How unfortunate is that, eh? When you think about all those years and one playoff appearance, just one.
It's got to be the worst, man. So, like, again, as much as you love, you know, the owner, Ralph Wilson, you know, rest his soul, I mean, it's time for a change, a new attitude, a new culture. So hopefully there's new things to come.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'll ever be able to downplay his effect on what he had on not only the Buffalo Bills, but the city of Buffalo as a whole.
Yep.
That'll never go anywhere. So I think people won't forget that. But like you said, it is time to usher in a new era. Unfortunately, a part of that new era has been injuries and suspensions.
Yeah.
Marcell Dareus, man, their superstar defensive tackle. He's Mr. Do-Everything along the defensive line. Suspended for the first four games of the season because of a violation that stemmed from a marijuana charge,
yeah,
and basically failing another drug test.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
Well, definitely it's disappointing. And obviously the Bills thought so as well. Kind of surprisingly, you don't see this a lot, but they took out a statement and basically, you know, they just really expressed how disappointed they were with their star player, Marcell Dareus. And with him, too, he missed the first game of the 2015 season. That also had to do with substance possession. So it's just really disappointing. Like, you know, the rules are what they are and you've got to conduct yourself accordingly. So according to Marcell, He missed the test, you know, and so you're only going to miss the test if you know you can't pass it. So very disappointing on his end.
Yeah, I don't get how you can miss the test. You know, so far in advance that basically the NFL sets it up in a way where they kind of tell you, you know, do your thing, but make sure you get out of your system by this date.
Exactly.
And I don't get how guys keep failing this. I was surprised. I was wondering if he was going to go the Le'Veon Bell route and basically say that the guy that set up the test didn't give them, you know, enough warning, or it just he didn't make enough effort to get the test through.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously he did the PR thing, or at least either him or his team, and he just expressed, you know, how sad he was and how he's going to come back better. But again, like, you just got to do your due diligence. Like you said, like, he knew well ahead of time what date this test was going to be. Like, it's just a complete lack of irresponsibility, and, you know, it's got to hurt his teammates. Like, even though they've come out in support of him, you know, deep down they're like, you know, we're really counting on this guy. We've already got so many injuries as it is. You know, we're facing an uphill battle. You know, like, you got to feel disappointed if you're the team. Feel like he let you down in a way.
Of course, and you look at the new contract he got this past offseason.
Yeah.
It's one of the highest paid defensive linemen in the NFL now. With that comes an expectation. Stay on the field.
Most guaranteed money for anybody outside of a quarterback. So, got to make
And he's
sure.
worth it too. I mean, when we watch him play, I don't think there's any disagreeing that he's a dominant player out there.
Yeah, man, he's got terrific speed for a big man. Like, he plugs the hole. Like, you know, Marcell Dareus is the heart of the Bills' defensive line for sure.
So with him out now, obviously somebody has to step up and fill that void. If you go off the depth chart, it's Corbin Bryant that's just sliding to that spot.
Yeah.
But a lot of talk around camp right now is about how rookie Adolphus Washington is about to step up and take on a larger role.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Adolphus, man?
I like Adolphus. He's somebody that they drafted in the third round. He's from Ohio State, so he's got a solid background, a solid pedigree. He can really help the Bills in terms of getting to the quarterback. Like, that is a specialty. And last season, the Bills were terrible at that. They ranked just 31st in the league with sacks. So I think he's definitely going to help in that department. It's going to be interesting to see because, you know, as a rookie, it's already such a daunting experience for him. Just coming in and learning the calls, learning the systems, getting used to the strength and how fast the game moves. And now, you know, they're going to throw even more at him with Marcell Dareus out. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can either thrive or if that's going to slow down his progression a little bit with Dareus out.
Yeah, I'm curious too, because we talked about Washington on last week's podcast, and I was kind of saying how, you know, I expect him to be a three technique player that's going to basically be a gap controller in like a Chris Canty type role. Now with Dareus out, I think his responsibility is going to shift a bit where they're going to need him to be that disruptive inside pass rusher that he was at Ohio State. So that might require him to stay in, you know, maybe a three technique, slide over a bit into two tech, kind of, you know, try and create some inside leverage to wreak havoc a bit. But I think it's going to be tough for him to adjust to that because guys are obviously a lot faster than NFL level, bigger bodies. You saw at times, in particular the Michigan State game last year, where he comes off a bit top heavy and can get pushed around. If that's going to stay the same in the NFL level, he'll struggle. So I'm kind of curious to watch him. He's somebody that I really, really want to watch during this next preseason game coming up. So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with him a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, last week was his debut. He was pretty good against the Colts. Like, overall, the whole defense for the whole game held the Colts to just 30 yards rushing, so that was a positive. And, you know, definitely Washington made some plays. Like, he was continuously getting into the backfield. He had a couple of tackles, and he just missed a sack. Like, he beat his lineman clean, and then he just couldn't quite grasp the quarterback who it was at the time. I can't remember, but it was definitely an impressive debut for Adolphus Washington. So,
Yeah, I think he's got great hand game. Like his hand technique to keep linemen off of him is really good for an interior defensive lineman. So hopefully he can put it together.
And that's something that apparently Marcell Dareus has been you know, helping him with a little bit. The two were seen this week chatting, and he was showing him a little bit about his hand motions that he likes. So, I mean, if he can learn from a stud like Marcell Dareus, that's obviously only going to help him. So,
For sure. I mean, how could that not help any player in the league right now? Maybe aside from Ndamukong Suh, but I think everybody could take a little bit from Marcell's
for
game.
sure.
Another position that's kind of open right now for competition is the outside linebacker spot opposite of Jerry Hughes. It's looking like it's going to be either Croy Bierman, Eric Stryker maybe, or Manny Lawson if he can stay on the field, because now he's got the impending, you know, off-field domestic violence allegations, and he's still not healthy. What are your thoughts on what appears to be a wide open position at the moment? Any front runner you see?
Well, like you said, it's completely wide open. Like, in practice this week, Lorenzo Alexander got a lot of the first team snaps. But Rex has really expressed that he wants Alexander to be a factor in special teams, and they feel like he can't maximize himself on special teams if he's going to be playing so many downs at outside linebacker. So therefore, you know, it's open to anybody. Like you mentioned, Eric Stryker, I would probably just put Bierman ahead of him right now, just because Bierman has that experience. He played in Atlanta for several years. He has a lot of different experience. He started a lot of games in this league. So just because of he's been around the league for a while, I'd give him a little bit of a edge over Stryker. But who knows? Hopefully Stryker will get into this game, to this next preseason game this weekend against the Giants. He'll get his chance, and then once you get in the game, you know, the opportunity is yours for the taking, right?
Couldn't agree more with that statement when it comes to Stryker, yep. Especially because we've seen this guy come in at 9 technique off the edge and absolutely wreak havoc at college.
Yeah.
Don't know if he can do that at the NFL level, but I'd love to find out and see. I think what's interesting with Corey Bierman, too, is that he's capable of shifting inside. He's kind of scheme versatile, and which is something that's vital for Rex Ryan.
Yep.
What about Manny Lawson, though? You think he can slide over if he's on the field?
Well, again, just being in the system, he's here last year. He's a veteran. Yeah, like, I mean, he's the guy you want there. It's just going to be how quickly can he get back? Like, all signs are right now that he should be back. Again, pending that suspension, we don't know what's going to happen there. You're hearing it's a one-game suspension, reports that it's domestic abuse, it might be something else, so it's kind of a wild card. But, I mean, ultimately right now, you want him manning down the fort until Shaq Lawson can come back for sure. So.
Yeah, which is kind of up in the air as well. I mean, Shaq is reportedly supposed to be back by week 7, but there's no guarantee with that either.
No, and that's the thing. If, you know, like, again, you don't have a stud like Shaq Lawson available, obviously you want somebody who's familiar with the system, was here last year, has been around the Bills for a while. So Manny Lawson would probably be your best bet if he's healthy and ready to go.
So I kind of get the vibe that we feel that this is going to be a position by committee.
No, for sure. For sure. Like, I think that's the thing they've expressed in training camp. And it's not just on the defense. It's a lot of different positions. Like, there's a lot of open competitions. Rex has always been that guy who just wants to feed the hungry players. So if you're hungry and you make plays, definitely he'll reward you for it. So definitely a lot of openness in this, on this team right now.
Speaking of making plays, one player that is kind of locked in his position but has been absolutely dominating training camp is Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
11 on 11 drills, he's been owning everybody by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
He's obviously due for a new contract this year.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on him so far in training camp with the way he's just kind of imposed his will?
Well, I'm not surprised. Like, I mean, earlier on we were talking about this guy could possibly hold out just because he wants that new contract. He obviously made the smart decision, came to camp, and he's decided that, you know what, he's gonna prove to the Bills that he's kind of going to force their hand and show them, hey, you know what? I'm worth the money. And obviously he's been really good early on. So it's no surprise. Like, again, first round corner, SEC guy coming out of college. And we've seen what he's done over the years. He's improved every season under the Bills. So definitely not surprised, because I think, again, motivating him is he wants that big contract. So.
So most elite corners in the league, they get $13 to $15 million a year.
Yeah.
Are you giving that to Steph?
Gotta see, you know, it's, for me, it's, let's see what happens. Like, again, he's been killing in the camp. You know, he's had numerous interceptions. He's been locking down anybody pretty much who he goes against. But I want to see what he's going to do now that the spotlight is on him. You know, everybody is talking about Stephon Gilmore. So that's the right thing. Him and his agent, they've created a buzz. So now he has to make good on that buzz, you know, go out and show us and lock down, you know, receivers week in and week out in the NFL. And then we'll see. And then obviously he'll deserve his money if he has that type of season. So,
well, I'm hoping Saturday we get to see at least the start of that when him and Odell Beckham hopefully get some time against each other.
Yeah, no,
because that would be a lot of fun to watch.
I'm definitely itching to see that, you know, because, I mean, obviously Odell Beckham Jr., you know, there's definitely a list of guys in here that he's kind of taken advantage of and made some people look silly. So definitely want to see in 2016 how Stephon Gilmore can handle him early on.
I would love to see that. I want to see them one-on-one for at least 2 to 3 plays. I'd love nothing more.
That's the dream, man. We can only dream. Hopefully it happens.
Before we get into our thoughts on the first preseason game, I think we'll talk about the offense a little bit here,
okay,
where there's some issues with what's going on still at camp. People are saying Tyrod Taylor's running a bit too much. We brought this up on the first podcast last week. Is there a reason for concern, or are we just kind of overreacting?
I think right now it's an overreaction, but I kind of understand where this is coming from. Like, there's obviously some injuries on the line, like Cordy Glenn, first and foremost. He's been banged up. Richie Incognito hasn't really been practicing. So obviously in practice, you're not going to have, your strongest line. So obviously we've seen various defenders have been getting into the backfield. They've been getting close to him. But again, all our indications are that Glenn should be back for week one. Incognito, his injury isn't really anything to be concerned with. So right now, I'm not panicking, and because I think these guys will be ready to go week one. So I'm not really panicking.
You know, on the line there, you bring up the issues of guys being banged up.
Yeah.
One player Doug Whaley said that has improved a lot and has really caught his eye is Cyrus Quandro.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of scrutiny last season with the way he played.
Yeah.
People were even going as far as calling him a bust.
Yeah.
What have you thought about him so far at camp? I think he's impressed a lot and his footwork has improved immensely.
Yeah, it's interesting because for his career, he's usually been a guy who plays on the right side. So right now in camp, he's filling in for Glenn, who plays on the left side. And for some reason, like, he's been a lot better. He's been holding his own. So it's strange. But again, like, for Quanjo, you know, you never know who's going to go down. And he's got to be ready to fill that void. So even though he's been killing on the left, and that's why Whaley's made the comments that he has, at the same time, Quanjo needs to be prepared because you never know who's going to go down. So he's got to be versatile and be ready to play left or right.
Yeah, he played left tackle at Bama, and I think because the left and the right side are obviously different,
yeah,
it's no need to explain that part there. One's left, one's right.
Yeah.
But the kick slide is different. The footwork, the breakdown, all of it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Not immensely different, but a little bit different. And I think that's something that took him some time to adjust to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's just got some more comfort playing on the left side where that's his natural position.
Yeah, because like you said, in his formative years in college – at Bama, that's what he was doing. So that's kind of deep in his roots. So it's kind of no surprise to me that he's kind of just been able to find some of that magic again here in camp on the left side, filling in for Glenn.
I hope it stays because the Bills, I don't want to say they invested a lot in him, but given the way that their line is shaped up so far, and even last year we saw it kind of become a revolving door at times,
yeah,
they're going to need guys like him to play well. Or at least be able to fill in and be a stopgap when things go south.
Exactly. And again, he's somebody like he's been a big name. Like fans have been expecting a lot of him. The team's been expecting a lot of him. So we just want to see him just be able to just provide some type of substance. Again, just play that filler role and just be versatile. So definitely want to see him take that next leap and have a good year for sure.
Okay, let's get into the first preseason game here.
All right.
The Indianapolis Colts beat the Bills last weekend 19-18.
Yeah.
Ugly score, ugly game.
Yeah.
It was your typical first preseason game.
Yeah.
A lot of bodies coming in and out of the game there. A lot of starters barely played. Like Andrew Luck didn't dress.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor threw three passes.
Yeah.
Cardale Jones, though.
Oh, man.
He was impressive.
Yeah, like he was really impressive. And it's kind of funny because everything in camp is just all you've heard is just, you know, Cardale Jones is just raw. Like he needs time. You know, he can't go in there and be the starter. A lot of people don't even think he's ready to be the number two guy. And then here he comes out last Saturday and just bang. Like, it kind of reminded me of that season where he came in at Ohio State and he led them all the way to the national championship. Like, I mean, he showed you a little bit of everything. The accuracy was really good. You know, on most of his passes, he hit guys right in the hands, right in the chest. He showed you a little bit of mobility. He showed you the pocket presence. Like, I was just thoroughly impressed with Mr. Jones there.
So I know it's only one game.
Yeah, got to keep it in context.
Did he not outplay E.J. Manuel? Is that fair to say?
He did for that one game. But again, like, I know a lot of Bills fans are thinking, hey, well, why can't Cardale jump into this number two? And maybe he very well can. But like you said, it's just one game, you know, and that was against the Colts. He's playing the New York Giants this week, a little bit better defense. So we'll see how he fares. But it's just one game. But he definitely did outplay EJ last weekend.
Well, this one game has helped, you know, propel the Cardale hype train this week.
Yeah.
All week after that game, it's just been, hey,
yeah.
Cardale's looking good. Cardale might have a real shot at the number two spot.
Yeah.
If he has another good game on Saturday against the Giants, watch out.
Yeah.
The Cardale hype train's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I hope that drives EJ Manuel to up his game. You know, because here you got this young rook who wants to take your job, you know. And again, with EJ, we'll see how it plays out. Like, a lot of people don't expect him to be back with the Bills next season. But, you know, even not even looking that far, like, you're a man, you're an athlete, like, competition should drive you. You know, you should push yourself to hold on to that number two job regardless of anything. Don't let this young buck beat you out for that number two job.
See, it's funny you say that. I had a friend in training camp last year with the Bills. Not going to name his name for his own reasons. But he was always saying about how EJ Manuel is just literally nonchalant with everything. Like when they go around training camp, when they're at Fisher College, he's just kind of, you know, what's up? He's not California cool. He's just EJ Manuel.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you could describe him. He's just very, you know, introverted, quiet guy. Just he's EJ. I mean, I really don't know how else to describe it, but he is what he looks like on the field, off the field as well.
Yeah, definitely. Because even in his whole tenure with Buffalo, like, I mean, nothing's really stuck out for him in terms of like an interview, in terms of like quotes and stuff. Like he's just really just reserved, quiet. Seems like a guy, he's always thinking, he's always kind of analyzing some stuff. So
yeah,
definitely it doesn't surprise me what you say about what you heard about EJ, for sure.
He's not like your prototypical quarterback. Like, what is this? He makes Jay Cutler look enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, because that guy always looks upset about everything.
Yeah, it's really hard to do that. So. Yeah, I mean, and I feel like that's part of a quarterback's DNA. Like, I mean, you got to know how to lead men. You know, you got to be that vocal leader. You've got to be that guy who takes charge on the field. You've got to have a voice in the huddle, in practice. And, yeah, just never got that vibe from EJ. So.
Off the air, you talked about the running backs in the first game there and how it's kind of a log jam at the moment.
Yeah.
We saw a bit of clarity with Jonathan Williams having a great game. Maybe that's going to be, you know, him pulling away a bit from guys like James Waller and Daniel Heron. You want to talk about this murky situation a bit? You were breaking it down off the air. How about you get into it a bit here?
Yeah. So you mentioned Jonathan Williams. He had a good game. He had about 40 yards or so on 8 carries, a 14-yard run. He was really good between tackles. And then, again, compared to those other two guys, we're talking about James Wilder Jr. And Boom Heron, Daniel Boom Heron. Like, those guys just, they couldn't have had worse games. You know, James Wilder Jr., 5 carries, 0 yards. Boom Heron, about the same thing. So definitely this young buck, Jonathan Williams, he's climbed into that discussion for the third running back spot. Again, McCoy is number one. We'd like to assume that Bush will be two. Right now, I think Gillislee still has a grasp on the third spot, just because, again, he's been here, knows the system, he's got a little bit more experience, but definitely Jonathan Williams might be able to challenge him in that department for that third running back spot.
Would it be fair to say Wilder Jr. and, I guess, Daniel Heron are playing for their roster spot this week?
Yeah, and especially with Wilder Jr. too, because I can't remember if we mentioned this last week, but with him, he's a guy... He's been given some opportunities on special teams. I believe he was on the kicker team. He was a gunner, and he just wasn't impressive at all in that area. You know, and again, when you're fighting for a roster spot, you're on the bubble. Like, a lot of times, it's going to come down to your additional value. It's just not what you do in the backfield. And again, he did nothing. He was abysmal. But you just can't flop like that on special teams. You know, that's where you're going to make this squad.
Exactly. Special teams is exactly where a guy like that is going to make this roster. And if you can't even do it there, and then you can't, you know, get any yards, I don't know where they can use you.
Yeah. No, so. For sure. So, I mean, he's still here. Like, I mean, you know, he's lucky he's still here, because as we saw, Leonard Hankerson, he made some mistakes in the first game. He dropped 3 balls, and he was out this week. So, I mean, James Wilder, he's fortunate he's still here. So, then another week, you know, he's got to have a much better game, to say the least. So.
Totally agree with you. And somebody who took advantage of Hankerson's drops was Walter Powell. He looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, he did. Especially he looked really good on that that last drive from Cardell. 113. They drove all the way down the field. Powell had a big catch on a slant, which is just a rocket from Cardell, by the way.
And then, he unloaded on that pass.
Yeah, and then I feel like he caught the touchdown too. Before they tried the extra point. I feel like that was Powell as well, if my memory serves me right. So
that was Jared Boyd.
Okay, my mistake. But Powell just had that type of game. Like, I mean, because he made some plays on the return game too. So definitely. And he was rewarded this week for his performance. He got some a lot of reps with the receivers, working with the ones and kind of like that fourth spot. So he was impressive, to say the least, though.
Who stood out for you on the defensive end?
On the defensive end, again, I think we mentioned him last week, Kevon Seymour. Man, that guy's going to be good, man, at the corner spot. Like, again, 6th-round pick, not really sure what to expect from him. He's kind of had a buzz going all summer in training camp. He's been making plays. And then he comes out on Saturday just completely locking down guys. He broke up a pass in the red zone. I'm Canadian. The guy from Iowa, right now, my memory. You know him?
It's my boy, man, Tavon Austin.
No, not Tavon Austin. Tavon Smith, I believe.
Or Tavon Smith, sorry. Yeah, Tavon Smith.
Yeah, so honestly, it was a nice play. Like, Tavon Smith was running like a fade close to the end zone, and Seymour just disrupted it. He made a couple of tackles, and his coverage was good. The only mistake he made was he got caught for a PI call. But I mean, sometimes you can live with those, you know, because I mean, sometimes that's the difference between giving up a big play or a touchdown. But definitely from the Rook, I was definitely impressed with Kevon Seymour. So that's definitely a guy I want to keep more tabs on and see if he can maybe potentially. They were working him out at the nickel corner as well this week. So I just want to see, you know, what he's going to do this season if he's been given some opportunities.
I'm very excited with the way that he's kind of propelled himself to just emerges as number three cornerback for the Bills.
Yeah.
Might even overtake Nickell Robey. And on a side thing, Tavon, sorry, brother. You know it's nothing but love. Didn't mean to screw up with Austin there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had him on the podcast last year, so that's why.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Tavon. Yeah. another guy that stood out for me defensively was Lorenzo Alexander. Yeah. I know you mentioned him earlier.
Yeah.
Three solo tackles. Him and David Hawthorne, the veteran.
Yeah.
Man, they were flying out there. And for both guys that are fighting for a roster spot, they look pretty damn good.
Yeah. And again, with Alexander, you know, Rex just gloats about him in special teams. So he was definitely making some plays too in that department. He was just kind of all over the field. So that was nice to see from the veteran.
What are your thoughts about Rex Ryan gloating about players in the media?
I mean, it's very Rex-ish, right? Like, I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, if you're a player, I'd like to think you'd like it, right? Getting some props from your coach. At least, you know, that's because people have always said Rex is a player's coach. So I feel like as a player, that's got to make you feel good. You know, here's your coach going out on a limb for you, you know, giving you props in the media. I mean, why would you not like that?
I think players love it. Yeah. I think he is a player's coach. It's just fun. Sometimes I find him to be a bit overzealous. So I'm like, Rex, man. Chill out.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Because, I mean, some of the guys that he is talking about, we're not even sure what their roles are going to be. It's still very early. It was just one game, right? So, I mean, you're right. He might be jumping the gun a little bit, but I wouldn't expect anything less from Rex, right? That's always been him. It's in his DNA, so it makes him who he is.
Sometimes he comes off as a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Like, he just sounds like it. Rex, just take it easy a bit there.
Yeah.
Leading up to Saturday, obviously they're playing the New York Giants, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
We've mentioned a few names here of guys that we're excited to watch on Saturday, in particular Kayvon Seymour, Cardale Jones,
yeah.
Jonathan Williams.
Yeah.
Anybody else that you're really excited to watch play this weekend?
On the offense, going back to that third wide receiver position, or just the wide receiver battle as well. Like, we all know Sammy Watkins is the clear number one. Robert Woods is the number two. Marquise Goodwin right now is penciled in as the three. He's competing with guys like Dez Lewis. I'm not sure if he'll play this week, though, because he just came back from injuries. And then there's Greg Little. So I'm looking to see if Marquise Goodwin can solidify his spot at the number three wide receiver. Tyrod didn't play a lot last week, but in the little bit of reps that he did have, he threw a beautiful deep ball to Marquise Goodwin, and he just couldn't corral it. So I want to see if Marquise can bounce back this week and put some depth, or put some distance, rather, between him and the rest of these third-tier wide receivers.
I'd like to see that as well, especially because a guy like Walter Powell is just nipping at his heels right now.
Yeah.
For me, another position I'd like to see is Corbin Bryant, Jarrell Worthy. I'd like to see more of those guys along the D-line there, because one of them's going to have to step up with this void of Marcell Dareus now. So that's something I'm going to watch pretty carefully there. And I want to see how Duke Williams is going to take on, you know. Stephon Gilmore is obviously taking on the main duty with Odell.
Yeah.
But I want to see how Duke Williams does there. And on the backside, Darby and Sterling Shepard is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And Duke Williams, again, he's another guy who might be fighting for his job at the safety position. But he made pretty good last week. He made a lot of plays. He came in nice on the blitz, got to the quarterback. He was all over the place too, so definitely want to look out for him. But like you said too, with Darby going into his second year now, here he is against this rook, Sterling Shepard, and we all know about Sterling Shepard and what he can do. So I want to see that challenge between the two young guns there. So.
Oh, yeah, people are sleeping on Sterling Shepard. I know he's going to become a trendier name, especially after the catch he made last week and before that, but this is a guy who put up big-time numbers at Oklahoma, too.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised you said Duke Williams' roster spot's in danger, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because obviously Aaron Williams, if he was healthy, he was supposed to be the starter. But Duke Williams is another guy too, though. Like he's been here for a while. He hasn't always kind of lived up to expectations. But they've added some other guys at safety, so he's one of those guys. Like it's just not a clear cut that he's gonna make this team.
Okay, I think because of Aaron Williams' health, that's why I think he will be on this roster.
Yeah.
But I'm still a bit surprised. No love for Duke, eh?
Well, there's Buddy from that they brought over from New England right now. His name is escaping me at the moment. He was one of the guys that they added from New England.
Jonathan Meeks?
No, not Meeks. I have to search it up. But yeah, there's just a little bit of a position battle going on there with safety. That's the only reason. Like, I mean, obviously he's probably the favorite, but it's just not a slam dunk is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I could buy that. I could buy that. Any other guys that might jump out to you that are in danger of losing their spot on the roster?
Any other
I
guy?
know you mentioned Duke, so I wonder if there's anybody else.
Yeah. Anybody else that's in danger of losing their spot? Not that I can think of, but going back to the Bierman signing, that isn't necessarily a slam dunk that he makes this roster too. Like I know we're talking about maybe Eric Striker can man that outside job. There's a couple other guys too who are fighting at outside linebacker. So I want to see, what he can do. I want to see why it is that the Bills decided to give him a chance. So I want to see what he can do this week against the Giants, Corey Bierman.
Yeah, I'd love to see Corey Bierman actually step up and do something because he kind of faded a bit in his last year in Atlanta.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's been in the league for a long time though,
Yeah.
9 years. He's seen it all in that regard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's a lot of miles on that body, so I'm curious to see how he'll do as well. I can even see the Bills using him in strictly like a second team role. Rotational player. He can play all special teams, so that's a big bonus for him. So I think his value might lie as being a versatile piece as opposed to a genuine starter.
Yeah. No, and for sure, and like he brings that experience, that's what we were mentioning before. So like compared to some of the young bucks, you kind of just got to give him the edge there. And he's a guy who started a lot of games. But again, yeah, I just want to see what it is that made them sign him. So I'm eager to see him this weekend.
I'm not going to ask you for prediction because it's a preseason game.
Yeah.
We'll save that kind of stuff for the regular season.
Yeah.
But when you look at this whole roster and the way it's kind of shaped out so far through almost the midway point of training camp, are you worried about this team heading into the regular season?
It's hard not to be as I exhale. Like, I mean, just all the injuries. Like, you start at the top. Like, you've lost your first round pick and your second round pick. And, on defense, the Bills had a disappointing season, to say the least, last year. And so you address these needs, hopefully, in the draft, and then you can't get these guys on the field. And then to make matters worse, key contributors, Marcell Dareus on the line, your star defensive tackle, he's going to miss 4 games. Your backup running back, your red zone pounder, Carlos Williams, he's not there. And then you talk about edge rushers, Manny Lawson, we're not sure if he can start the season. Like it's really hard not to think that it's going to be a tough year, to say the least, for the Bills. Like, I mean, the offense, I'm not too worried about, because again, everybody's back and everyone's healthy for the most part. Second year for Tyrod. He had the whole offseason knowing he was a starter. But the defense, man, the defense is just making me worried, to say the least. So.
I get the same vibe, and when I look at this team more and more, I go, okay, unless the offense puts up gaudy numbers or
Yeah.
ball control to the extreme,
Yeah.
I'm really concerned, especially when their first 4 games are against Baltimore, Arizona, the Jets, and the Patriots. Those are four teams that, the Bills can realistically start the season 0-4.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like you say, can the offense carry the team? I mean, that's gonna have to be left to seen, because again, it's not an explosive offense, or it can be. Like, I mean, Sammy downfield, Tyrod's got a big arm, but like this is not a team that you expect to just go out there and put up, what, 20 to 30 points every single week. Like, I don't know. Like average, I don't know if that's the type of offense that the Bills have. So yeah, like it's gonna the defense for sure. Guys are gonna have to step up and just kind of give the offense some help too.
Yeah, because that's a lot of points for us. I'm going to put up there, 20 to 30 points, especially when you're going against defenses. Like we just said, the first 4 games there, the Jets and Cardinals in particular, those are two defenses that can eat them alive.
I mean, I guess the only bright side is that, you got a lot of these guys coming back maybe after 4 games. like with Darius, it's just four games. He'll be back week five. Same goes with Carlos Williams. Again, Monty Lawson, we think he should be ready. Cordy Glenn should be ready by the start of the season. So that's the only positive. But I mean, yeah, just with those two guys, well, with Reggie Ragland gone for the whole season and then Shaq Lawson probably gone for half the season, is definitely just disappointing. But you got to rally, right? Like, I mean, all these guys are NFL players. You know, they're all here for a reason. You know, they deserve to be in the league. So you just got to step up and make plays. The next man up is the theory, really. So
to the fullest. We're going to find out what this Bills team's made out of early on, if they can overcome adversity or not, too.
Yeah, for sure. Because like you said, those first 4 weeks, two divisional games, like you've got to figure stuff out in a hurry. You know, you don't want to start the season 0-2 in the division. So
exactly. And that's my fear as well, is that if this team gets out of the gate slow, 0-4, 1-3, that could have a snowball effect that can literally just derail an entire season. Because I don't know if this team will have what it takes to kind of overcome that, especially a Rex Ryan-led team. And I don't want to say that in a negative manner, but I'm just calling it what we've seen with him over the years. His teams, sure, they're scrappy, but they're also not disciplined. They're very inconsistent. They're mediocre. They're 8-8.
Yeah, and you talk about not being disciplined. Like, there was a ton of penalties last weekend. And obviously that's something that Rex talked about. They had a problem too last year with penalties. So that again plays to Rex Ryan. You gotta get your guys in better shape and a little bit more discipline. Because again, with all these injuries, you have all these guys missing. The last thing you want to do is shoot yourself in the foot with just a ton of penalties. It's not going to help you win games, obviously.
Thank you. I mean, mistake-free football can only help the Bills, and they've been anything but that.
Yeah.
At least under Rex Ryan. I know it's only 1 year. And now one preseason game. But what else can we go off of? You go over this time with the Jets, it was up and down again. It's just nothing is consistent there, and it really worries me.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, I mean, Bills fans, like, just have the team in your prayers. Like, I mean, just it doesn't look good on paper, but, you know, they don't play the games on paper. It's played on the field. And like I said, we're going to see if a lot of these guys are going to step up and who's going to man up, and we'll see what happens.
And we'll find that out starting on Saturday, obviously, where they take on the New York Giants for their second preseason game at New Era Field.
Yeah.
So that'll take a while getting used to calling it New Era Field, but we'll come around with it.
Yeah, definitely going to take some time. Like, it still feels weird, but I mean, it's just in the aftermath. But, you know, eventually you're just going to acclimate. It'll feel like eventually we'll get to that point where, you know, we'll just call it New Era. It'll be just like the Ralphs. So
that's a good point, actually. I don't know, because, you know, some people still call the Rogers Center for the Jays the Dome or the Sky Dome. So.
Yeah.
Those people will always be out there.
Yeah.
I think on that note, though, we'll wrap this thing up and we'll get out of here.
All right. Yeah, just really eager to see what happens this week with the Bills and then see what we have to talk about next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really excited to watch the second preseason game for a variety of reasons. Lots of camp battles going on, so that'll be exciting to watch.
No doubt about it.
All right, guys. If you like what you're hearing, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can follow myself on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow Tristan on Twitter at Tristan J. Garnett. If you want to subscribe to the show, please subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. And hey, if you like what you're hearing again, leave us a review. Those always help as well. Rate the show, leave us a review, let us know what you think about it. Any feedback helps us at all times to improve the show. We always appreciate that. Thank you for listening, guys, and enjoy ushering in a new era on Saturday at New Era Field in Buffalo.
Enjoy.
Take care.
Enjoy week two, guys. See ya.